And I think we might have Congressman Paul Tonko on the phone. Good morning.
You do, Bob. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Well, the big vote took place. You voted no on the extension of the tax cuts and all the other stuff. Why?
Well, you know, the extension of the Bush tax cuts required, I think, a good review of their performance over the last decade. And it's obvious that, you know, when the 01 and 03 series of those Bush tax cuts were promoted, they were supported because they were marketed and messaged as job producers. And when we look at the track record over that last decade, it's some of the most dismal performance in terms of job creation and retention. And so if we're going to invest nearly $1 trillion and borrow, for that matter, all of this money, ought there not be some calculus? It has to define jobs, and the jobs simply weren't there. And I think also the inequity moving forward as we borrow money from China or Saudi Arabia for this tax cut, what's the fairness for the people that I represent? I hear it all the time. I'm aware of it. People make me very aware of it. Our average incomes are far below those millionaires and billionaires. We have 98.1% of our households under $250,000. The median in Montgomery County or Fulton and Schoharie is drastically below that. So I know what it is to represent 20 and 30 and 40 and $60,000 households. Where's their share of the pie? And this plan costs on average $6,000 per taxpayer, but is expected to stop only about $3,000 in tax increases. So I thought, you know, the share for the middle class simply wasn't there. The job creation wasn't there. And the growth, the disparity between the comfortable and the struggling in our society is growing wider than it's ever been. In the last decade, these tax cuts for the wealthy led to a 66% income growth, Bob, for the top 1% of Americans. The bottom half of income earners in our country now collectively own less than 1% of the nation's wealth. So that describes to me the disparity. Think of it, you know, a millionaire, a person with $1 million or $1 million household is going to get well over $140,000 worth of benefit. And we just keep padding that wealth. And this, for this bill, I just saw it as a budget buster. And one that really, you know, could be defined as a deficit-driven recovery vehicle.
Are you disappointed that President Obama agreed to this?
Well, I think the president was held hostage. If you look at the ledgers here, if you look at what the Democrats were pushing, including the White House, and certainly our majority, and what Republicans were promoting in this negotiation, it's very...
Seemed to have lost the Congress. Well, I'm sure we lost you for a second. Go ahead.
We're about middle income on the Democratic ledger. We're about child investment, tax credits, college tuition assistance, all of those programs that speak unemployment insurance extension. Those were the things we demanded be in there. The Republicans held the president hostage saying, we want millionaires and billionaires to get their tax cuts, which, as I just indicated, was grossly unfair as in terms of who got what. Over the last decade with the Bush tax cuts. They were also pushing for an estate tax. So all of the things they were driving are driving an inflationary spiral. It's growing a deficit while we were trying to empower the middle class. And so the process was held hostage by that thinking, but I simply could not. I know there's good in the bill, but I also know there's bad in the bill. And I couldn't reconcile it to the point where I could support this package.
Yeah.
Now, I think it will be a budget-driven recovery with this bill that was approved last night. And again, it's a budget buster. And we're raiding the Social Security Trust Fund. I mean, it jeopardizes Social Security. And I think we're going to, you know, you heard it last night on the floor. The fingerprints are all over privatization of Social Security. You heard it. We know that this has been their drive for 74 years since the development, you know, 75 years ago of Social Security. And I think this is the opening of the door, letting the foot slip in to privatize Social Security And certainly, it grows the deficit without producing the jobs. I, on the floor last night, in my statement of opposition, said we need to create more jobs with legislation of this type and reduce the debt. And I didn't see that happening with this bill.
If I could be cynical for a moment, I mean, would you have voted against this if your vote really, I hate to say it, meant something? In other words, if your vote was going to defeat the bill?
No.
I mean, enough.
No, I think what it would have done, I think if we had defeated the bill on the floor, it would have pushed in these last 10 days for revisitation at the table. There would have been an effort made to bring the parties back. I mean, we're here in session again today. We may be in on Saturday. And I think that the charge here is get it done and get it done correctly. Mm. And I think that we had a chance here to really create a measure that drove jobs, that created jobs. We could have taken the savings from the Bush tax cut by limiting it to the first $250,000, which I would remind you and our listeners, everyone, including millionaires and billionaires, will get their first $250,000 of income touched by this tax cut. So it's not like anybody got skipped, but we could have taken the savings where the bloat of over $140,000 worth of tax cut savings to a millionaire and then the billionaires and all of that gets extrapolated out, we could have took those savings and applied it towards infrastructure, transportation needs, promoting the investment in R&D that will grow the high-tech innovation economy. There are so many things we could do to drive job creation. Right. And that was a statement we were trying to make. We were trying to convince those who were casting votes that there was a better way. And this deficit-driven recovery idea is not what the doctor ordered. As we borrow money for this entire package, we're going to borrow money from China, Saudi Arabia, you name it. And that just doesn't make sense.
Okay. I had the call, as I had, I think, for the past 3 weeks from the gentleman who wonders, any hope left for the $250 payment one time for Social Security recipients?
Well, interesting. We attempted to get that passed. The Republicans would not support it. It costs, I believe, some $14 million. Think of it. They couldn't support that measure, but they could support tax cuts for millionaires and billionaires. They could support a estate tax that was included in the bill that cost billions of dollars. Again, it's about priorities. It's about the impact that people make on behalf of middle income, the middle class of our society, which is being endangered by tax policy, where we've seen this accumulation of wealth in the top 1%, 2% of Americans. 2% of Americans here, perched at the top of the economic ladder, are going to get $200 billion out of this plan, and we couldn't give $14 million to our nation's seniors.
Now, so that won't happen, is what you're saying.
I don't see it happening because it was brought to the floor. We needed more votes. We didn't get them from the Republicans, and I don't see the issue being taken up unless somehow today the Senate takes up the issue and sends it back to the House.
Okay. Do you have some more time you can spend with us here, Congressman?
Absolutely.
Okay. We have a caller coming in at 7:50. Tell you what, let me put the weather on, and then we'll take a call for Congressman Paul Tonko in Washington. You're listening to Light 104.7 FM.
Your Light 104.7 and AM 1570 WVTL forecast for Amsterdam and the Mohawk and Schoharie Valleys. A slight chance of snow showers today, mostly cloudy, high 28. Tonight, a chance of snow showers before midnight, cloudy, low 19. This weekend in the valleys, tomorrow partly sunny, high 29. Sunday, there's a slight chance of snow in the afternoon, mostly cloudy, high 30 with a light north wind.
751, currently 12 degrees, partly sunny. Congressman Paul Tonko joins us from Washington. Good morning. You're on WVTL-FM.
Good morning, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Yes. Oh, not bad. Yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm just a little concerned about the... I'm retired, but I'm a former businessman in the city. And at the same time, I'm kind of feeling why you would vote that way with so many people needing that, you know, income from the employment checks.
The unemployment
checks.
Yeah.
And it's a devastating area that you know.
Yeah. Well, let me make it very clear that in the last couple of weeks, I voted for unemployment insurance extenders that were more generous than this package included, and that I also voted for a middle class tax cut, $250,000, which to many in our district doesn't even sound like middle class, but I was willing to go as high as $250,000. What I'm concerned about is the impact on the individual. As I indicated, you know, with this bill, yes, there's good stuff in it, but when you look at the cost of it because of the billionaire-millionaire tax cut, the added tax cut that comes, it takes all this, the benefit to the taxpayer that comes via a tax cut, and it's taken away by the debt that you have to pay off that's borrowed from China, Saudi Arabia, and what have you. So when you look at a modest income household, the net return is a negative. And I think that's the driving force that bothers me. While the millionaire and billionaire gets a bonanza in savings, they share the same burden of deficit reduction that a very struggling household does.
Okay, okay, Congressman, please. Let the gentleman respond, and then we'll move on, okay? Sir, does that satisfy you, what he's saying?
At the same time, I would say, like the larger, wealthier ones, there is a percentage that helps the economy. You know, it helps jobs to stay here in the USA. I don't know all the figures, but you can kind of explain it another time.
I'm sorry, Congressman, could you let him finish his sentence, please?
Okay.
Sir,
okay.
Go ahead. No, what
Thank
were you,
you
saying?
Very much.
No, I'm sorry, what were you saying? I didn't hear the end.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, about the wealthy, there are, what percentage of wealthy are helping the job situation?
Okay.
That's what I'm getting at. Okay. And you got to look at it as a human factor. People that need this income, there's no way you should vote that down. That's what I'm getting at.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, and you can answer on the radio. I'll listen.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Congressman.
Sure. What I think is very telling about the Bush tax cuts from 01 and 03, which were carried for a decade, is that we saw the most dismal job creation and retention numbers in our history. And when we started, before the Bush tax cuts were implemented, we had 4.6% unemployment. And then they marketed these tax cuts as job producers. And a decade later, we've doubled that unemployment statistic. We've seen, I told you what has happened with the concentration of wealth going into the upper 2% of Americans in this country. There's every evidence and analyses that have been done post-tax cuts, Bush tax cuts, that there was no trickle down. So I respect what the gentleman is saying in theory, but in history, data now are telling us that that didn't happen. And it drove a doubling of the unemployment rate and really drove the deficit to the point of $8 trillion. So there were devastating statistics from this concentration of wealth skewed to the upper income strata, where we have seen more and more wealth pumped into a relative few percent of the population. Mm-hmm. And the disparity between the struggling families and those most comfortable is wider than it's ever been in the history of our nation, and it is now coming, it's reflecting exactly what happened at the time of the Depression.
Okay.
And I think we have to be cognizant of that. And any bill that was going to take us forward with tax cuts that continue to enhance those bad statistics, to me, was a danger zone.
All right.
And we ought not step into it.
Congressman Paul Tonko with us on WVTL-FM. You're almost done down there. When are you going to wrap up? And do you see other big issues before the end of the lame duck session?
Well, we're moving on a continuing resolution today. Hopefully it'll be sent over from the Senate. That allows us to continue business with the federal budget through the midpoint of February.
That's a big deal, isn't it? Yes, you got to pass
it
that,
is.
Right?
Yeah. Yes, because the current resolution expires on the 18th, which is tomorrow. And so that has to be done by this weekend.
Okay. What about one other topic I wanted to bring up with you that occurred this week is the judge in Virginia overturning the quote-unquote Obamacare, or he didn't overturn it, but he says he doesn't think it's constitutional, the provision that everybody has to have in insurance. How do you think that's going to go? I mean, what people are saying is it's going to be up to the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I think it will move up the ladder of the judicial system, and I'm convinced that the judicial system will support what was done. It mimics a number of things in the nation's history. And I was also listening the other night to some reports that this judge has connections to a firm that was fighting the health care situation. And so there might be a bit of tainted outcome that was part of that Virginia decision.
However, the Supreme Court, doesn't it kind of have a conservative bent right now? Wouldn't they tend to oppose it?
Well, I would still place my assessment on the value added that's brought by the health care package and the sense of being constitutional based on the needs of the general public, of the general masses. We have seen programs throughout time that have been developed that will speak to the needs of the general populace, and I think the courts will be hard-pressed to deny that.
Well, Congressman Paul Tonko, I thank you very much for joining us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. I'll talk with your office about next week, because I do have next Friday off. Maybe we can talk with you one time next week before
that'll
we
be great.
Get to the
That'll
holiday.
Be great. Well, we wish you well. We wish the listeners well. And, let me throw an early happy holiday season message out there to everyone. We've got about a 2-inch snowfall that hit us yesterday in Washington, so it's beginning to look like Christmas down here.
Really? That's more snow than we had. We had a 0.5 inch yesterday, Congressman.
Yeah, it's been a cold week here.
Yes. All right, well, thank you very much. You have a good day.
You too, Bob.
Bye-bye.